But thank God that the Lord empowers me to come here. And it breaks my heart when I see an empty pew seat when I know someone's missing, because I know that they're missing out on the love and the blessings that we have here at church. It just breaks my heart.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Spiritual Success and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Spiritual success. Spiritual success. This is what we're going to be talking about today. Spiritual success. You know, it's not enough to come to church. It's not enough to read your Bible. It's not enough just to pray. Those are all important things. But you got to have belief. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because God is good. God is good all the time, even when your circumstances are not. So it's not about how you feel about things. It's about who you know. It's about the Christ that lives inside of every believer. That strength of Jesus is within every believer. And through that strength, you can have spiritual success. Through that strength, you can walk through the storms, and the storms will not walk through you. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. What does that mean? That you're not supposed to talk about it? The exact opposite. In other words, it should never leave your mouth in the sense that you do stop talking about it. The word of God is something that we're supposed to be spreading around. We're not supposed to forget it. We're supposed to meditate on it day and night. And if we're not, then we're not being fed the word of God. We're not being fed that. And if we're not being fed the word of God, then the devil can move in and get victory over us. He can steal our blessings. He can steal our blessings. So we have to meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. That's called obedience. That means that when you read something in the Bible, you don't look at your neighbor and say, hey, you need to read this. You need to hear this. No, it's for you first. You can't lead somebody someplace if you haven't been there first, if you don't know the way, correct? You got to be careful to do everything written in it. The Lord has blessings for us, and the roadmap is in this book. This is the roadmap to the blessings. And I want to see people have spiritual success by following the roadmap, by not allowing the word to depart from their mouths, by keeping it on their lips, by meditating on it, day and night, so they can be careful to do everything in it. Now listen, when all of those things are done, the last part of this verse says, then you will be prosperous and successful. Who wants to be successful in here? Raise your hand. I think everybody wants success, right? But see, we measure success in the wrong way. So in order to get this success, the first thing we need to do is commit to Christ. Commitment. Now that is a difficult word for a lot of people in this day and age. Commitment. It means sticking it out. It means going through the good with people, and it means going through the bad. And it also pertains to Christ. Revelations 3:15 through 16 reads, I know your deeds, this is Jesus speaking by the way, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. This is a rebuke. This is how God looks at a relationship that a person or persons have with him. Now, let's put this in the context, what he's saying here. Any one of us in here that has a spouse or a relationship with another person, and they're lukewarm about it. They're iffy about it. One day they're hot for you. The next day they're standoffish for you. Doesn't that get on your nerves? When you got somebody in your life, one minute they just so in love with you. And then the next minute, they're not even calling you. They're not even hanging out with you. You just want to spit them out of your mouth. That's called being lukewarm. They don't know what they want. They think they can walk both sides of the fence until you push them over on one side. Amen. Well, you know, Jesus is a person. He's got feelings. And when he sees people that call themselves Christians, and one minute they're on fire for the Lord, and the next minute they're walking in the world, that's lukewarm to him. You have to pick a side. We're in a spiritual war. We got the devil coming against us. We got our own flesh coming up against us. And we got the entire world working up against us. And now we're working against ourselves when we become lukewarm to God. We don't want to do that. We don't want to come to church some of the time. We want to come to the church as much of the time as we could possibly make it. We don't want to read our Bible some of the time. We want to read our Bible every day. We don't want to pray some of the time. We want to pray without ceasing. We want to have a spirit of prayer. We don't want to witness some of the time. We want to be a witness all of the time in deed, action, and word. We're the example to the lost. If you ever wonder why so many people are falling away from churches, it's because the church is becoming a poor example of what a Christian is supposed to be. I'm not talking about perfectionism. I'm talking about loving people, not with just your lip service. I'm talking about loving people through the Spirit of Christ. I'm talking about being hot for God. I'm talking about wanting to go out and work for the Lord because you love him. And that love incites you to spill it over to other people's lives. Some Christians fall short of pleasing God because they are not totally committed to him. They insist on inserting their own will over God's will. Now, this happens when we want something so bad that we're going to make it happen no matter what. You want to feel better? You're going to do something that makes you feel better. Somebody upsets you? Well, why not explode all over them and cuss them out and call them names? That'll make you feel better, won't it? No, it shouldn't. They insist on asserting their own will over God's will. I don't want to read the Bible today. I don't want to pray today. The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. We have to get it in check. We have to surrender our will to God. Spiritual success demands complete abandonment of self and the acceptance of God's will. This means getting down on your knees and saying, Lord, your will be done, not mine. Your will be done, not mine. It's hard. It's hard because the flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do. I've been there, and sometimes I find myself there. Matthew 10:39. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This is Christ speaking. What does he mean by this? Well, listen, what Jesus is saying that is whoever finds his life, they're going to lose it. Because if you're searching for something for yourself, then you're headed towards a road of selfishness. And the things that you want in your life by your very nature, and this includes me too, not beating anybody up here, I'm just telling you human nature, sinful nature, is that when we search out for our own dreams, by our very nature, it's against God. Now, some of you may not understand what I'm saying. But then Jesus goes on to say, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, here's what this means. When we come to Christ and say, Lord, take my dreams, take my desires, take all of my sin and do with it what you will. I lay it upon you. What you're doing in faith is you're saying, Lord, become the Lord of my life. Not just my Savior, but my director, my guide. Lord knows I need a guide. I used to handle my own life, and guess what happened? It came crashing down. And I know, and don't raise your hand, there's people in here who've handled life their way and didn't surrender it to God, and it came crashing down on them. They lost it. They did not build it upon the rock. Christ is the rock that we build our lives on. The next thing for spiritual success is confidence in Christ. See, you can't place your faith in something if you're not confident in it. Amen? John, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Young lady came up here last week and she said that a demonic-filled person was tormenting her. She knows who she is. I won't point her out. And we prayed that this person would depart from her life. And that following Monday, he quit the job where he worked, where he could have had contact with these young ladies. Praise the Lord. We prayed in confidence, and the Lord drove him out. This is testimony. These are things that are real. The only way God is going to answer your prayer every time is when it's in his will. It won't be always on your time either. Sometimes we pray and we say, God, I want this now. And he'll say, yeah, you can have it, but you'll have to wait. And when we choose not to wait, we can get into trouble. Abraham did this. He was confident that God was going to give him a son, but he didn't want to wait. And so he took it upon himself to have a sexual encounter with his handmaiden, and he had an Ishmael out of it. We don't want any Ishmaels, do we? Don't make an Ishmael for yourself. Ishmael was the illegitimate son, if you will. He was the son born out of wedlock to Abraham. And trouble started in that house because of it. We don't want trouble in our house, do we? We want to have confidence in God. We want to believe that he's going to answer us, and he's going to answer us on his timing. Boy, doesn't it just really drive you nuts having to wait for the answer? Sometimes when we wait, though, we're learning something. The first thing I learned is I ain't doing this again. I don't want to have to go through this again. Those whose confidence is placed in Jesus can rest assured that God hears their prayers. Unbelievers do not have their prayers answered or even heard by God, unless it's the prayer of salvation. John 9:31, I love proving my point in Scripture. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. If you're not doing God's will and you're not praying God's will, you're not going to get God's will. God's not a pushover. He's not a fool. He's not going to listen to somebody who ain't talking his language. God's not going to bless you with something that's not good for you. That doesn't mean you can't get it on your own. Doesn't mean you can't make things happen. God knows I made some things happen. And sometimes I prayed for things that he didn't give me, and I went out and got myself and wished, oh, Lord, take it away, take it away. Because it wasn't in his will for me to have it. I was praying it back to him. Take it. I don't want it. And sometimes he'll say, no, you stuck with it for a while. You wanted it so bad, go ahead and keep it. Third, compassion like Christ's. Compassion. Are we compassionate? Do we have mercy on just those who are good people, quote, good people, or do we have mercy on those who don't deserve it? Or do we make a judgment call? Do we look at somebody and say, well, I feel sorry for poor old Charlie, but he deserved it. I hope not. Because I know that if you haven't been in a situation that you don't deserve to be in, live a little longer and you will have something happen to you that you don't deserve. There are many people out there that just make mistakes. But listen to Matthew 9:36. When he saw the crowds, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had great compassion because of his compassions. Sinners can be saved if they repent and believe on him. Take this into context. Every believer in here was a sinner at one time or another. And God could have turned his back on each and every one of us as believers. He could have said, you know what? You sinned against me. And my law says that when you sin against me, you go to hell. You're separated from me for eternity because I'm a just God. But instead, he sent Jesus Christ to take the punishment for us. Now, I don't deserve Christ taking my place. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Grace is undeserved merit. And why is that? Because God had compassion on us. Christ said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down freely. Christ had the power. Look, he raised the dead, right? He healed the sick. He opened the eyes of the blind. Christ could have just said a word and destroyed all of his enemies. So it's important that we know that Jesus wasn't forcefully killed by anybody. He freely gave himself up as a sacrifice to the Lord, to God, the Father, as a sacrifice for us. That's why we call him the Lamb of God. God requires blood for blood. So if you do something wrong and you don't pay God his penalty of blood, you pay the penalty. God is just. If somebody comes to your house, God forbid, and hurts somebody in your home that you love, you want justice, don't you? When we sin against God. We hurt another person, one of his creations. We hurt him. Now, if you want justice, of course God wants justice. We're made in his image. But God had compassion. God had compassion. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to clean up our life. He took us as we are. People always tell me, Pastor, I'll come to church when I'm doing a little bit better with God. This is the hospital for sinners. This is where you go. You go to Jesus to get cleaned up. You don't stay at home to get cleaned up. It ain't going to happen at home. Some of us know this because we're in church after many, many years. There's some people in here who haven't gone to church in decades. And they knew it wasn't working at home for them. Because at home, you just get sicker. Sometimes you have to go to the hospital, right? You put it off and you put it off and you don't go and you get sicker. You know, somebody in here over the weekend had an earache. And we prayed for her. And she went to the doctor and she was a lot sicker than she thought she was. Amen? Now she's getting better because she's taking the medicine. Praise the Lord. Don't stay at home if you're spiritually sick. And don't stay at home if you don't want to get spiritually sick. You need your medicine. We attain spiritual success when we are compassionate and pray for the sick, help the needy, and comfort the bereaved, and pray for our enemies. Pray for our enemies. Do we pray for our enemies enough? If you're not praying for your enemies, then you're probably holding something against them in your heart. And you know what? The Bible clearly says that if you don't forgive others, the Father won't forgive you. Now, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about if somebody trespasses against you and you've done a similar trespass in the past, When it comes time for you to pay the piper for what you did, why should God give you favor and mercy when you didn't give favor and mercy to the person who trespassed against you? Think about right now while we speak of this, somebody in your life right now that needs your mercy and they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. And you just want to give it to them anyways because you know that you're better than that in Christ. That the Jesus inside of you demands that mercy. Because it could be you one day crying out for mercy. Four, cooperation with Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:1, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. God's grace is the grace of Jesus Christ. And we're his fellow workers. We're his ambassadors. We're to go out to all the world and proclaim the good news of Jesus. Many Christians fail to work for Christ as they should. They neglect, make excuses, and fail to cooperate with Christ in carrying out his commission. Everyone's got an excuse not to come to church. Aren't you glad that I show up? But thank God that the Lord empowers me to come here. And it breaks my heart when I see an empty pew seat when I know someone's missing, because I know that they're missing out on the love and the blessings that we have here at church. It just breaks my heart. When we work for Christ, we are working with him also. He goes with us and speaks through us as we call, invite, and witness. You know what I love about God? You know, God doesn't need us. He was God before he made us. But I will tell you this. He shares things with us. He shares things. When we go out and we witness to other people, Jesus is right there with us. And you know what? It's really him doing the witnessing, but he's using us as the vessel to do it. But seriously, God wants to work through people because that's where the real miracle is. See, some people think a miracle is seeing an angel or seeing a manifestation of the angel of the Lord, Jesus coming up and saying, hi, how you doing? But you know what the real miracle is? Bigger than all of that is when our will as a human being is bent to his will. When a person says no to oneself, when a person says it's no longer about me, Jesus, but all about you, that's the miracle. Because as people, we can be selfish. As people, we can be self-centered. So the real miracle is when God takes us and says, listen, I love you so much, I saved you, and we heed to that calling, the miracle happens that we become workers for him. People who knew you in the past, they look at you and they say, isn't that the woman or the guy that used to cuss all the time at the water cooler at work? Isn't that the neighbor that used to scream at the children in the neighborhood every time they walked on her lawn? Isn't that the guy that used to tell Christian jokes? And God took that person and made them into a witness for him. Listen, the Apostle Paul was persecuting the Christians. Even watched the cloaks of the people who stoned Stephen to death. He hunted down Christians, and he ended up writing more of the New Testament than any other author. God changed him. God changed him, and he became a worker for God. Now listen, God changed me. God changed me. And I know that he can change every one of us in here. One of my prayers used to be, Lord, what's taking you so long with me? And his answer would be, you. Because the level of surrender that you give to God dictates the level of spirituality or the spiritual success that you will gain. Listen, God is not going to go against your free will. Otherwise, there would be no relationship there. Raise your hand if you're married. Do you force your spouse to love you? It doesn't work, does it? They have to give to you freely, don't they? And if they do something out of duty rather than love, it's still not the same, is it? Is it? It's like, why would you even do it at all if you don't love me? Well, this is how God feels. He wants you to do service for him out of love. Out of love. And last, contentment through Christ. Philippians 4:11, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Discontentment is prevalent in today's world. Many are trying to find contentment through possessions, pleasures, and popularity. You know, that's only temporal, because the things that might bring you a sense of contentment, they're also temporal. So when we're looking for something, an object, a possession, that's going to give us contentment, you know as well as I do, the newness wears off and it gets boring. You might have wanted that car really, really bad. You drove it for a while. Now you see another car. Ooh, I like that one better than this one. Possessions only cause contentment for a little while. What about pleasures? Some people seek pleasures for contentment. This can be very dangerous. Pleasures can include ungodly sexual acts, substance abuse, or unhealthy relationships with people who are not of God, hanging out with the crowd, doing things that the crowd does, knowing that you just got out of church last Sunday and the preacher man was just preaching against this. You're hanging around the wrong people. Why? Popularity. The last one here. Well, I want to be popular. I want people to like me. I want to be seen. I want to be heard. I want to be thought of and loved. We can learn a lot from people who have the popularity and have the things that we want so bad. Yet we see celebrities all the time destroy themselves with those very things that we wish we had. We see them on MTV or one of those talk shows where they lift up celebrities. And we see their fancy cars and their houses and their hairdos and their clothing. And we think, wouldn't it be good to have all that? But you know what? When the reality shows come on, we see the other side of them too, don't we? And we see these people aren't happy. They just got more things than we do. And they're still not happy. Real and lasting contentment is found only in Jesus Christ. He satisfies the longing of the soul and brings spiritual success. Now, I have been where I know some of us are here today. I have been in the pews listening to the pastor speak similar things. I would ask, how can I find contentment in Jesus Christ? That's good for the pastor, maybe, but how does that work for me? Well, through the other things I talked about. Commitment, right? Committing ourselves to the Lord. Believing. Repentance. It's important that we don't just look at Jesus as something that we're selling on a billboard. Jesus is real. He's in our hearts. And I'll tell you what, you ask anybody who's going through something really hard, and somebody comes along and starts praying with them, and they feel the peace of Jesus surround them. Go to a funeral and watch as the preacher man there comforts the bereaved and see how the Lord reaches out to comfort that person. Now, does God make everything go away that's bad in our lives? No. But does he go through with us everything in our life? Only if we invite him in. Most people don't even invite him in. They don't. And so they don't have that contentment. They always want the next best thing. I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when I get a better job. I'll be happy when I get a better house. I'll be happy when I get more money. I'll be happy, happy, happy when. And when the when comes along, they realize those things were not their problem. That their real problem was they needed that peace between themselves and God through Jesus Christ. And I'm almost done here. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So there's two ingredients. You got to have godliness. Can't get it without Jesus. You cannot get godliness without Jesus. And the more of your Bible that you consume, the more praying that you do, the more surrendering that you do, the stronger your belief becomes. Spiritual success comes only through Jesus Christ. Only through him. Not going to get there any other way. Accepting Christ is the first step. We must have obedience to him. Spiritual success begins with confession of our sins.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.